You know, Derek, sometimes it takes three times to get a podcast intro right, and damn it, I'm going to get it right this morning.
I don't know. Maybe this one that takes seven. Who knows?
Takes
we'll see if this one's good enough.
We don't have to show the people where things are done. You know, Derek, sometimes when it's preseason, you have fits and starts. You're like, man, this is really good. And then you go back and you listen to it, and you're like, this is utter dog shit. Kind of like the Canes.
I hope it's not the latter.
Well, I mean, and hopefully things are going to continue to get better for us in this podcast and for the Carolina Hurricanes, because Rod Brindamore's streak of unbeatenness as a head coach in the preseason, sadly, Derek, is over.
Oh, man. Well, let's pour a little bit out of the 2018-2019 preseason champs, as it looks like we're not going to repeat this year, Mike. It's a real shame. I was so excited to make another high-effort shirt.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, this just goes to show how tough it is to repeat. I mean, we made so many off-season acquisitions, and we came into this preseason with such high expectations, knowing that, you know, we are the reigning, defending, undisputed preseason champions of the National Hockey League, and yet still, with all of that, you know, we could blame injuries, we could blame lack of leadership, we could blame so many things, but no, the Carolina Hurricanes failed to repeat as preseason champs, Derek. How do we recover from this?
I think we need some Sarah McLachlan in the background for this. please, actually, don't do that, Mike. I'm begging you. Don't add that to it.
It's done in post. Too late.
Damn it.
F it. We'll fix it in post.
I think we're going to be fine, Mike. It's a preseason game. I remember the Detroit Lions went 4-0 in the NFL preseason, and then they went 0-16 in the regular season. So, yeah, it's a preseason loss to Nashville. I'm really not all that concerned at all. I'm far more concerned about what came out of that game, which was a bum ankle for Mr. Ryan Dzingel.
Yeah, future top liner Ryan Dzingel potentially. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about lineups. We're going to give you our preseason preview. We've already given you a preseason preview. I guess maybe we should do like an actual season preview, Derek.
Why not?
When you're recording at like 9:15 on a Sunday morning, English is hard.
Don't make the time of day your excuse, Mike.
I can't wait for the Section 328 Corrections Department to just have a field day with this podcast. Because, folks, I'm just warning you right now. It's 9:15. It's before the Caniac Carnival. It would not be appropriate for us to start drinking during a podcast before we have to leave the house and go to the carnival. And normally our podcasts are better once we've, you know, had a beer or two. So, let's apologize in advance. I feel like we've let the people down this preseason, Derek. I mean, we as the reigning, defending, undisputed podcast champions of Raleigh, I feel like we've let the people down.
Well, don't be so hard on yourself, Mike, but I do picture Pat like cracking his knuckles every time the tweet goes out that there's a new podcast and just like firing up a spreadsheet. I'd like to think that Pat has a spreadsheet for all the times we screw up.
That he better be running some macros on that. Oh, Jesus, I don't know. Hey, folks, welcome. This is Cheaters Never Win. We promise to do better next time. But hey, Derek.
Yes.
Hit that damn X button.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this week's episode of Cheaters Never Win, brought to you by New Belgium Brewing. Also brought to you by Dawn from Fathom Realtor. Realty, she is your @Caniac_Realtor. You can find Dawn at becauseitshome.com. And now, here's Derek and Mike. Yeah, and hey, folks, early morning recording, so we did not have a guest this morning. But again, we wanted to remind everybody that for all of your home needs, make sure to go to becauseitshome.com and check out our friend Dawn.
This is Dawn Meyer with Fathom Realty, official realtor of Section 328. You can find me at becauseitshome.com. I am as passionate about helping you make your next move as I am about the Carolina Hurricanes. On average, homes sold by my firm sell 78 days quicker than other homes on the MLS, getting money in your pocket sooner. Buyers also get exclusive strategic representation in the seller's market. Contact me at becauseitshome.com to learn more.
That's right, folks. A brand new sponsor. Welcome to the good folks of New Belgium Brewing. The new 2019-2020 season, title sponsor for the Cheaters Never Win podcast. And maybe even more importantly, beer sponsor for your favorite tailgate in the PNC parking lot. That's right. New Belgium signing on with us, going to be providing at minimum 5 sponsor tailgates this year, where they're bringing out sweet, delicious, cold New Belgium beers for our consumption, and hopefully you come by and join us in your consumption as well before we enjoy these Carolina Hurricanes. So thank you to the entire team over at New Belgium Brewing, particularly Chris Allen, who has been nothing but phenomenal to us, and we want to say thank you guys for signing on to not only assist with tailgates, but for being the title sponsor of Cheaters Never Win this year.
Yes, welcome, and for those of you who have not had New Belgium beer, one, how, but two, this Thursday, as you sweat profusely in the East Lot grass, come cool off with a smooth adult beverage from New Belgium.
Yeah.
And say hello.
Yeah, we are. We expect to have plenty of brews. Stick around to the end of the tailgate. We'll have the full details of the season opener tailgate, of which, if you're listening, this is your invitation to join us out in the East Lot. So, but Derek, before we get to that, we have to get to a couple of the things, and you mentioned Ryan Dezingle. I've got a little bit of trepidation going into the season. We're going to talk season preview here as well. Last year was quite possibly one of the healthiest years that the Carolina Hurricanes have had in quite some time. Going into this year, we've already had an Eric Hollis scare. We've already got Ryan Dezingle hopping around Franklin Street Community College with his ankle wrapped. Are you as worried as I am that this team is one or two injuries away from becoming the New York Islanders?
No.
Good.
Would you like more analysis?
I would.
Just answer the closed-ended question.
Yeah.
No. Okay. This team is not being trained by a crazy person. That makes me feel a little bit better about the injury avoidance from this team. And becoming the New York Islanders, I'm pretty sure they were a good team last year.
They were a good team last year, but that was smoke and mirrors, and there's no way the New York Islanders are good this year. No way.
Look, I said there was no way the New York Islanders were going to be good here, and then they were, which again points to the fact that I am not a hockey expert, but I'm really concerned about injuries. Yes, Eric Halla has he's coming off some knee surgery.
Jesus, have you seen that scar? I was on Twitter. Yeah, and I saw the pictures of him at the UNC game, and my Lord, young man,
you know how, like,
rub some cream on that.
You'll see commercials where they talk about, you know, minimally invasive laser surgery. I think that surgery was maximally invasive. Like, they just flayed open his leg as you know, just for fun times, and just like dug around in there and then stitched it back up, and you know, went full 90s ECW and just closed it up with crazy glue instead of.
Yeah, I'm like, did they use hemp rope to stitch that thing back up? Because the CBD would be healing? Jesus, I don't know. I don't know, Derek.
Hey, I got a wad of gum. That'll close this.
Wow. now I'm going to eBay to look for that holla gum. Holla. Anyway, here's my worry, Derek, with the trade that happened this week and not knowing how TVR is going to be coming back. The depth on the blue line is a little skeptical, more skeptical than it was. I think with Bean and Fleury and some of those other guys, I think we're going to be okay. But some of that scoring up front, we have to replace Justin Williams' goals. Ryan Dezingle was one of the guys who was supposed to be doing that, and it looks like he's going into the season with potentially a little bit of a bum ankle. Hollis still coming back from his things, and I just... Maybe this, I think what's settling in, Derek, and hey, Caniacs, if this is happening to you, tell me. It's that time of year where, like, I've been excited, and it's that time of year where I'm basically going, yep, here it comes. How long is it going to take us to get out of this, oh crap, the other shoe's about to drop? Because we talked about it last season, right? Every time we won a game, we're like, when is the other shoe going to drop? And it never happened, and we made it all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals, and it hasn't even started this year. And a couple of Knicks now, and I'm like, oh, crap, here it comes. Do we need therapy?
We haven't been used to having better part of a decade or so. But, Mike, let me remind you, on the previous podcast, you said Svech is going to score 40 goals, right?
Yes.
Like, doesn't that take up a lot of the scoring plus?
No, it takes up a portion of it.
Zingle. Julian Gauthier looks like a man who we didn't think was going to make the opening night roster, but now I don't see how you keep him off of it. And I got to go back. You said our depth on defense is, I don't know the word, but like questionable, or you don't have faith in it. Need I remind you our top four may be the best top four in the league?
And agreed. But what happens if one of the top two go down, that impacts our second pair to such an extent? And I guess this is everywhere throughout the league, right? You know, if you've got a really good top four,
yes,
and then all of a sudden one of your top three guys go down, everything kind of gets screwed up. Derek, I'm just scared, and I just want you to hold me. I mean, that's really kind of what I'm getting to. You're not here to hold me right now, and I'm scared.
Mike, it's not your fault.
Don't do this, Derek.
It's not your fault.
Derek, don't do this, man.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
It's Don Waddell's fault. On a future podcast, Don Waddell, to explain why it's his fault.
Oh, I hope he'll be wearing his, you know, sleeveless summer turtleneck when he joins us at the tailgate on Thursday. I don't know if he's joining us on Thursday or not, but if he is, I want it to be that, you know, sun's out, guns out turtleneck.
Just the stone cold Steve Austin of turtlenecks. Waddell 316 says, I just traded your ass.
Okay, one, I want that. Two, I also want to how hilarious would it be if Don Waddell also is it a Chubby's shorts aficionado? Like, turtleneck, tank top, just...
We might have to make
that. I'm sorry for putting that evil into the world.
It's a future t-shirt that's coming out, folks. Don Waddell, the Waddell 316. I just traded your ass. And we're Derek and I are doing our best this morning through what feels like potentially a few internet connections. So if today's podcast isn't of the highest recording quality, our extreme apologies. We promise to do better next time. But the good folks at, I believe, my and or Derek's internet provider are just making sure that we're like, man, let's keep you on your toes. You know, you pay for that. Also, people who don't sponsor this podcast, internet providers.
Spectrum's not a sponsor.
Exactly. That's why I wasn't going to say their name. F them. Anyway, Derek, how's the season going to go? I mean, let's back up for a second before I get into that.
Yeah, okay.
Something happened this past week that, I mean, do I have to take down the picture of now former Carolina Hurricane Justin Falk? Derek, I'm kind of scared as I'm looking around the Section 328 Worldwide Headquarters CEO office. I do not have a picture up of a current Hurricanes player anymore. I have Hurricanes legend Cameron Ward, guy doing nothing Corey Stillman, Justin Williams, on June 19th, 2006. None of those guys play for us anymore. Number 27, Justin Falk, doesn't play for us anymore. I do have a picture of the 2001 team up, Jeff Daniels, I guess, coaches for us, and Brenda Moore was there. So, I mean, maybe that kind of counts. But, Derek, I'm lost. Falker's gone.
It's fine, though. Yeah, things happen. He was here, like, I forget, was it 8 seasons, I think
eight,
he played?
8 full, beautiful seasons.
He was a really good Hurricane. He became, as Pat pointed out, to use the word scapegoat anytime you mentioned Justin Falk and we're discussing his tenure in Carolina, we do have a contractual obligation to use the word scapegoat. He was often a scapegoat here, but I think he's like the all-time point leader among defensemen for the Hurricanes. Put up a good amount of points, was an all-star kind of by default a few years, but with the depth that we have with Hamilton here, now with Jake Gardner signing in the offseason, Falk became redundant, and not necessarily in a bad way, but just like, why have him here when he's coming up on a contract year and we're not going to want to pay him what he ended up getting from St. Louis? So trade him. We got back a serviceable defenseman in Joel Edmondson who can play third line minutes and is a big, strong boy. And we got a good prospect. So, you know, thank you for your time. happen. I'm glad you're not in the conference against us, and best of
Yeah, it's going to be weird to not see 27 roll out there on the first team power play every single night, firing slap shots that miss the net by, you know, 18 inches to 18 feet. It just feels odd. I was a big fan of Justin Faulk throughout the years. I think Justin was an absolute asset to this team during some of the down times. He was always affable. He was always good for, you know, a good conversation, a good Minnesota boy who just, you know, he was kind of in the wrong place at the wrong time. And had it been under different circumstances, you know, maybe Justin Faulk would be a better defenseman. I don't think he necessarily got some of the best coaching early on in his career and could have been helped by that. But ultimately, on behalf of all of the Section 328ers, thank you to Justin Faulk for everything you did. I know he's a longtime listener, but maybe even more importantly, welcome new first power play quarterback, Jake Gardner. Right, Derek?
Maybe. I'm really curious if this can be the season where Brind'Amour puts Hamilton at the point on the first power play unit, because he needs to be there. I think it was in Dom's predictions on The Athletic, which if you're not subscribed to The Athletic, change that. But he predicted the Canes as the sixth best team in the league, which there he talked about Dougie Hamilton, who is only trailing Erik Karlsson as far as efficiency of putting up points on the power play. How do you not give him more time?
I'm not a coach, not a hockey guy. Could it be a matter of trying to hold his minutes because Dougie is so much better at 5-on-5 offensively than so many other people? And also coaches have their guys. You know, Faulk was a Brind'Amour guy. And, you know, we'll see where Gardner slides into that. But at today's Caniac Carnival, maybe we'll see a little bit of what we could expect on the power play. Today is kind of the last dress rehearsal before we welcome Les Abatons into the sweet, sweet confines mm-hmm. of the PNC Arena on Thursday night. So for those of you who are going out to the Caniac Carnival, I hope you had a good time, because there's probably no chance in hell I'm actually getting this up before the carnival. So I am going to go live in-game update. Carolina Hurricanes played a game on Sunday. It was a thing, and we don't have to do preseason anymore. There you go.
Yay!
All right, Derek. I think, my take on the Faulk trade, it was fine. We all wanted Andre Kasha.
Yeah.
We didn't get him. Bach, here was the thing that excited me. He goes, Bach has the talent and the vision to be Teuvo Teravainen-like. If we get another sweet, sweet boy like Teuvo Teravainen out of this trade, oh, God, just feed me all of the puppy and Bach pictures. I just want sweet pictures of, like, him wearing a nice cashmere sweater holding a puppy. That's all I want. Just want our sweet boys.
Man. Yeah, I'm very here for that. So, Mike, you talked about getting to season predictions, though, and I know we are working on it as a team. For those of you listening to this, before Thursday, we will put out the official 328 season predictions, where we think every team will finish the season. Look, they are fun. They're fine to read before the season. When they're at their best, it's at the end of the season, so you can come back and go, these idiots? Huh? That's where the real fun is. And that's why we put them up here for posterity to laugh at ourselves. We start the podcast with self-deprecation, and now we're tying in the theme here. So, Mike, you have not filled yours in yet. I know you are a man who likes to wait for all the injury news and all the lineups to come in before you make your final predictions. But I have mine. And you talked about how the Hurricanes going to be this year. Mike, I have been so bold as to say the Hurricanes will win the Metropolitan Division this season.
You're smoking crack. Are they smell? Is the crack problem in Garner that bad, Derek? Do we need to have an intervention?
I wouldn't know.
Okay. Well, you know, you're in good company, because Don LeCision said the only teams in the Eastern Conference who were going to finish better than the Carolina Hurricanes would be the Tampa Lightning, the Boston Bruins, and the Toronto Maple Leafs. So by process of elimination, that means that, yes, they should be they should win the Metro. So you think the Canes, how many points are the Canes going to get? What's it going to take to win the Metro, Derek? That's maybe even a better question.
I think Capitals are going to come back a little bit. I think the Penguins are going to come back. I keep forgetting that the Penguins got Alex Galchenyuk.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I was playing NHL 20 this week, and I was like, Galchenyuk with the Penguins? When did that? Oh, right. The Kessel trade. I think both those teams are going to come back a little bit.
Did you make that Kessel trade in 4.2 parsecs? Never mind. Sorry. That was awful. Sorry. I feel shame.
I hear you. I'm just being silent, and I'm not giving that any attention.
Thank you. I'm still waiting for a number from you, Derek. See, that this is the part where I'd be staring blankly at you. I'm just staring blankly into the microphone now.
It must have been an internet issue, because before I besmirched the Capitals and the Penguins.
All right. Let's try this again, Derek, because, you know, our internet just completely crapped out there, and we promise, again, this is going to be the We Promise to Do Better Next Week episode, next week's the real season, and we'll figure it out, but we had to swap some stuff there, and this is going to be a complete interruption into the podcast, and you guys don't need to know how the sausage is made, but hey, there you know it. Derek, we were talking about numbers.
Yeah, but real quick, does all the electricity in your area, instead of going to powering internet devices, is that what powers up the ITB snow dome?
Derek, the ITB dome is a magical and difficult thing to explain. And I could get Hayes Permar and probably a few other folks on to try to explain it, but I haven't been ITB long enough to actually be able to explain it.
Okay.
And for those of you who are wondering what ITB is, if you don't know, sorry.
Is it kind of like I can't know it because I'm outside it? I haven't paid enough money into this. It's the OT level 8 stuff. I got to go on a ship to learn all about how the dome works.
Yep.
All right, cool. So where were we, Mike, before I went off on that tangent?
you were about to tell me how many points the Carolina Hurricanes were going to have to win the Metro Division.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be an astronomical number. I think it'll be an improvement from last year. I think 104 to 106 is going to get the job done.
Interesting. So you think, and again, I've seen a lot of this, right, that the Metro Division is going to be pretty tightly bound up. I saw a USA Today prediction, and that says a lot there, that the first place team in the Metro was going to have 98 points, I believe, and the last place team in the Metro was going to have 80 points, with three teams, including the Carolina Hurricanes, being tied for third at 90 points.
Right.
And I was like, wow, the team got better, and that is a 9-point reduction. But I think they also thought some of the teams at the bottom of the barrel there were obviously going to do quite a bit better.
Yeah. I'm looking at that USA Today prediction right now, and no, that's just awful.
Yeah. Here's my – so, Derek, let's go on. We'll wait until the thing. So, Canes are going to win the Metro. Who's going to come in – Who are going to be the Metropolitan Division playoff teams? Let's go for that.
So let me go back to what I have already typed into the internet machine. So the the Metro playoff teams, obviously the Hurricanes, Los Capitales, Los Diablos, and the Penguins that I don't know the Spanish word for.
Oh, you went for the Diablos.
Yeah, I like the PK Subban addition. I think Jack Hughes will put up some good points. Having Taylor Hall healthy for as long as they can have him healthy will be a fantastic thing. And I don't think Wayne Simmonds is going to be the big addition that he would have been if he got there 2 years ago, or the Wayne Simmonds that we all pined for here. But I think he can be a good, you know, chip in some goals on a power play some third line minutes. That's another good addition. I think the Devils are going to be an improved team this season.
Nice. I like that. And that's a fun prediction. That's a fun prediction that you're either going to get, go, wow, Derek, you were omniscient, or Derek, you're an idiot. which is pretty much all of our predictions anyway. So
yes.
Good. How about the division of death, the Atlantic division?
So, Mike, yeah, let me make sure you're seated for this. I think the top three teams are going to be Tampa, Boston, and Toronto.
What?
Bold. I also think the Panthers are going to sneak into the playoffs this season. I think having Coach Q there, having Bobrovsky, it's going to be good for them. And I just don't think there are four other Metro teams, or of the other four Metro teams, I don't think another one's going to go this year. So I think it'll be evenly split 4-4.
I like that. I like that. So here's where I'm going to say. I'm going to start with the Atlantic, and I think it is going to be Tampa. I think it is going to be Toronto. I think it is then going to be Florida, and then Boston. Did you by chance see Steve Dangle's prediction for who is winning the Stanley Cup this year?
No.
Steve Dangle has predicted that Atlantic Division powerhouse, the Florida Panthers, are going to win the Stanley Cup. I don't hate that prediction.
I do.
I mean, the St. Louis Blues were dead last in January. They've got goaltending. They've got quite possibly some of the most underrated players in the league. They've got Q. I mean, it's a bold and interesting prediction, I will say that.
I do like how the phrase or the sentence, the St. Louis Blues were dead last in January, and this is not just from you but from anybody, has now been used to say, see, my argument is valid, or ha, your argument is invalid because the St. Louis Blues were dead last in January. It's like, okay, yes, that happened. They were a better team than their record showed, and that's a once in a lifetime thing that happened. But I don't see the Panthers being that good of a team. I don't see the depth there that can carry them to hoist the chalice.
Well, we shall see. We shall see. So I like those four in the East. I am going to I think the Washington Capitals are going to maintain top in the Metro. I'm going to say I believe it's going to be the Caps. I'm going to have the Canes at second. I am going to take the New York Rangers at third.
I'm sorry. And you accused me of abusing drugs?
Yes.
How are the Rangers going to be third in the division, Mike?
Because this is Hank Lundqvist's last run. I think they're going to have a little bit of fun with Artemi Panarin. I think Kaapo Kakko could go full Patrick Laine and do just absolute ridiculous things. And when you have elite-level goal scorers and world-class goaltending, you can shock the world. I think they're a team that shocks the East, because I then will take the New Jersey Devils in fourth, because Derek, I am predicting that Sidney Crosby is going to not play a full season, and the Pittsburgh Penguins, for the first time in a long time, are missing the Stanley Cup playoffs. I just don't think they've got anything. I think they're done. I think the end of the Penguin dynasty is here because they traded away their best player, Philip J. Kessel. Okay, maybe he wasn't their best player, but damn it, I love that hot dog eating, you know, nonchalant.
Hey,
I don't want him on my team, but
they did sign a fourth liner to a 6-year contract, though, so they've got that going for him.
Which is nice.
Is that the most JR thing?
Yes. In the year that Jim Rutherford gets inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame, to sign a fourth liner to a 6-year contract while still having Jack Johnson on your team is the most end of an era Jim Rutherford thing to do.
It's hilarious to me. So here's my two questions, though, for the season for you. Who do you have winning it all? And who do you have as going to be the worst team in hockey?
I could start worst team in hockey. I think that's pretty easy. I think that is the Ottawa Senators. I think Columbus is too talented to be super awful. I don't think Drew Doughty, Jonathan Quick will allow LA to be the worst team in hockey. Arizona's got Phil Kessel. They can't be worst. So yeah, I think it's Ottawa in a landslide, but I could be wrong. I've been wrong like twice before. who is going to win it all this year? I think the Washington Capitals win it all. I think the Atlantic Division teams beat the living hell out of each other in the first two rounds of the playoffs. I think the Capitals have a vendetta to score against the Carolina Hurricanes. I think they're going to have a cakewalk in the first round, whereas the Canes may not. And I think the Washington Capitals are going to go and win themselves one more Stanley Cup championship before Alex Ovechkin takes his stick and goes home back to Mother Russia.
I got to be honest, I hate that prediction because I don't want to see them win another cup. I enjoyed seeing it once, even though it ruined a lot of good jokes. But I have Tampa winning it all this year. I know they got swept by Columbus last year in the second craziest thing that happened other than the Blues being dead last in January. Their roster's so good. They added Kevin Shattenkirk just, you know, on a lark. And I think it's going to be a pretty strong contest for worst team in the league between Ottawa, Detroit, and I hope that Save by Quick will still be my friend after this. But I think LA is also going to be just a wretched team this season. But I think Ottawa is going to outsuck all of them, and I think they'll be the worst team this season.
Yeah. I mean, name me four players who currently play for the Ottawa Senators.
Brady Tkachuk, Thomas Chabot, that other dude,
Alexander Dane, and
Alexei Yashin. They've got a right winger,
Daniel Alfredson.
They've got a right winger, average height,
Danny Heatley,
hair. God, I can't place it. Two hands. He's got two hands, Mike. You know the guy. He's got two hands. No, two hands.
Okay. Not hands of feet.
Yeah, Radek Funk only had one hand.
Little known fact. But a great mullet. Radek Funk had a great mullet.
Radek Funk only having one hand is the new Katy Perry is JonBenet Ramsey.
Oh, there's a joke that's going to run all season. So, Derek, who do you have? Who do you have winning it all?
I said Tampa.
I'm sorry. I thought I heard you say Tampa.
Yeah, I said Tampa.
Tampa's currently, has Tampa won a game yet? I mean,
not in the regular season. They have not.
Oh my gosh. Tampa hasn't won a game since like early April. So, I mean, how can you, I mean, that's just the worst prediction ever. I don't know what to do.
My argument is valid because the Blues were dead last in January.
There it is. This is what happens, folks, when we do a podcast at like 9:50 in the morning, drinking water. All right. So, Derek, let's talk about this going into the Carolina Hurricane season. What are a couple of things Caniacs or maybe even yourself is looking forward to see how this new team is going to gel with the changes in leadership and the kind of the overall changes that Don Waddell has made this offseason? What are a couple of things you're going to be looking forward to seeing to making your decision if this team is actually going to be the Metropolitan Division champions you're predicting them to be?
I'm looking forward to seeing how all of this hot, nasty, badass speed comes into play. Our team was fast last year, and adding Holla and Dzingel and at least one of Natchez or Gauthier is just more speed for this team. I know Brendan Moore said there's a difference between being fast and playing fast. I think this team can do both. So that's one thing I'm looking forward to seeing. I also want to know, how will El Nino be this year? He was fantastic last season. Once he came here from Minnesota. But is that what we can expect going forward? Was that the exception to what the rest of his career has been? Or is that what we can expect from El Nino playing alongside Aho or another skilled centerman? I think that's going to be big. And then how's the power play? I know Sarah Sivian keeps pounding the drum to put Svechnikov and Dougie on the first power play. I really want that to happen. If it doesn't and the power play is still good, I'm okay with it, but our power play has to be better than what it was last season. So I would say those are the three big things that I'm looking for.
I like that. I mean, I'm looking forward to, I'm looking forward to just seeing how this team gels, right? Because last year it was pretty obvious that this team really gelled around the leadership of Justin Williams and what he brought into the locker room. And, you know, with under new captain. And, Derek, should we go ahead and just announce it right now? Should we go ahead and break the story? Ladies and gentlemen, insider information, Jordan Staal will be named captain of the Carolina Hurricanes this week. So Jordan Staal will be your captain with Martin Nook and Slavin being the alternates.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I just learned a little something on this show.
Yeah, that's part of the insider information that you get only here on Cheaters Never Win. Also, I completely just made that shit up. So, I mean, isn't that what insiders do? Unless your name's Bobby Margarita or Elliot Friedman, don't believe shit you hear on the internet, including what we say. I mean, Jordan Staal's probably going to be the leader, and I'm perfectly fine with that. He's going to be a different guy, but he's also won a Stanley Cup, much like Justin Williams has, and we'll see how this whole thing plays out. But
because we've heard the phrase, especially with the Edmondson trade, now that he is a Stanley Cup champion, the phrase of "he knows how to win" has been used a lot.
Well, if that's the case, they should name DJ Khaled captain, because all he does is win.
Well done, sir.
Thank you. Now I can't get the song out of my head. So, that's one of the things I'm looking forward to. I want to see our large grown adult son, Alexander Svechnikov.
Who?
He's taking Alex's name.
Okay, sure, Mike.
Alexander Svechnikov, and just taking over the role as the best Russian in the National Hockey League. The mantle was passed. Ovechkin passed it really hard directly into Andre's face, but he passed it.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oof. Too soon? Too soon.
A little.
I think Svech scores 40. I want to see the emergence of him as being considered one of the elite in the league. I think it is impossible to win a Stanley Cup without multiple elite players on your team, particularly up front. So with Aho and Svech being both elite, and not just Joe Flacco elite, but like really elite, I just want to see what he can do, because I think that growth that we're going to see out of him is going to be just a beautiful, beautiful thing this year. And the last thing that I'm looking forward to is I'm looking forward to when does Hurricanes Twitter turn on itself? Does it take one loss against Montreal? Do we wait a couple of weeks? But it's bound to happen. You know, it always does. How long is it before we just completely implode upon ourselves?
Oh, it's going to eat its own tail at some point. I don't think it's going to be driven by losses. I think it's going to be driven by something with performance on this, like individual player performances or line combinations or something like that. But it's going to eat its own tail, and I think this is a good time to remind everybody that Twitter should be fun. If you're not having fun, put the bird website down. Go take a walk. Watch the game without it. But if you want to have fun, do it up.
Yes. I like
that's
that.
That's my PSA.
Yes. Just have fun. Don't be an asshole and go enjoy yourself. So, Derek, this is the time of the podcast that we should maybe go ahead and open up ye olde mailbox to check out that cheat mail. Gotta go get some cheat mail. This is a lot harder when we're on, you know, like not in the same place. Derek, you got any cheat mail for me?
We started off really smooth on that one, and yes, I do. I think we kind of touched on this, but I'll let you put a bow on it. This is from our buddy Will Looper at W Looper. Is Brendan Moore really stubborn enough to not play Dougie on the first power play unit? What could possibly be the reason?
Brendan Moore is a grown ass man. He will do as he pleases. Yes. Jake Gardner is going to be the first line power play quarterback. I'm just saying it right now.
All right.
Derek, your thoughts?
I hate to say it, but I think you're right. As much as I want Dougie on the first power play unit, and I think he'd be an improvement over literally anyone not named Erik Karlsson, it's not going to happen, and it's going to infuriate me.
So, Derek, this one from our buddy Zach Mitchell. He is at ZJM91 over on the Bird Machine. Do you think the lack of production so far from top forwards and our power play is a cause for concern?
I mean, I hope not. I hope whether it's Dougie or whether it's Jake running the point on this power play, I hope we'll get some more pucks to the net where our forwards can chip it in, or we can just get a little bit more puck movement around and get some better shots on the power play. I am cautiously optimistic that it's not going to be a huge concern, but I think this might be the thing that goes back and makes Kane's Twitter eat its own tail.
No, I can see that.
Also, I guess Zach must have changed his Twitter handles after he sent in his cheat mail, because I show him as at Kadiak Zach.
You may be right, because I'm using some non-Twitter application, and I just can't go away from it. We got other questions here. What else do we got? We got this one from Ryan B. He's got two questions. Do you think Stahl's going to be the next guy to wear the C? We've already broken that news here. Ryan at that underscore E flat underscore guy, respecting the underscore twice.
Also, yeah, way to ask a question that Mike already answered on the podcast that happened after you sent in your question, Ryan.
Ryan. Jeez. But here's the actually interesting thing. And more importantly, do you agree with my hot take that Svechnikov will be the next guy to wear the C whenever Stahl leaves 5 years from now?
You left off the last sentence.
Just imagine peak grown man Svech.
Oh. All right. So I want everyone to take a minute to imagine peak grown man Svech.
The porn music I'm going to lay over that pause is going to be the best.
Just, hey, there's a bass riff I haven't heard on this show before. That's tough, because 5 years from now, I mean, that's when Aho's going to go play for his dream team of Montreal, right?
Yes.
Now, I can see it being Svechnikov. We've learned he's increasingly outgoing as he is wont to show off his magic tricks, which is fantastic. It could be someone like him. I think there are some teams, Colorado, Pittsburgh, who have put the C on a 19-year-old. It's really early to judge with his maturity. Aho's only a few years older, but I think if Aho sticks around after that, I think Aho's going to be the captain of this team. It's just all the expectations that have been put on him, but who knows who we'll have in 5 years. I mean, Slavin could be a phenomenal candidate to captain this team in 5 years. I think we are lucky to have several options where we don't just have to go, yes, it's obviously this guy.
Yeah. Agreed. I like the idea of Sebastian Aho being the future captain of this team. I like the idea of Svech just being allowed to be Svech. And just do Svechy things and be Svechy.
Okay. Related. This is from Carolina Gamer at Cretan underscore Valifor. I probably mispronounced your name, and my apologies for that. Who will Svech fight opening night?
Mark Bergevin.
Oh, I don't know if I'd recommend that. He is swole.
Just before the game, walks up to him, punches him directly square in the face. It's like, don't you ever look at my guy again.
He's going to fight Hats.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's it. That's an even better answer. An even better answer. I like it.
I'll tell you who he damn well better not fight. Shea Weber.
Schweber.
Do not do that.
Yeah, don't ever. Don't ever do any of that. Derek, I think that kind of closes up the cheat mailbox for this morning. Thanks to everybody who sent them in. And again, we'll have a full cheat mail segment this week. Hopefully everybody can get in there. We'll record a podcast after opening night, because we have preparations to do for the big tailgate. Derek, do you want to tell folks a little bit about the big tailgate on Thursday?
Absolutely. So, come on out. It's going to be really, really hot. So please drink water. Be responsible about all of this. But we will be in the East Lot Grass. If you have joined us before, you know where we are. If you have not joined us before, the East Lot is the one that is closest to I-40. We're near the big sign that says the PNC Arena and advertises what band is showing up next. We'll be out in the grass there. We'll have a bunch of tents. We're going to have beer provided by the new title sponsor of this podcast, New Belgium Brewing. There'll be some to share, but please bring your own beverages too, because depending on how many you wish to consume, there may not be enough for everybody. But just come on out. I don't know the exact time. I think we're still working on that. We'll probably share exactly when the tailgate will start. But
let's go ahead and just say as a good round figure, we will be out there and should be set up by about 4:30. So anybody who's arriving by about 4:30, feel free to come on by and say hello.
Yes, 4:30. There, yes. Boom, locked in. And as Mike said earlier, you're listening to this podcast. This is your invitation to the tailgate. So Mr. Workrate has tweeted out things before that we legitimately mean. Come out. We don't care if we've never met you before or if you've come to 20 tailgates before. We are happy that you are there. Come, say hello, be as social as you choose to be at the tailgate. If you want to chat with folks, great. If you just like to sit and be around other people having fun, that's cool too. Please come to the tailgate. We are really, really looking forward to kicking off this season and hopefully not getting heat stroke.
Yes. And something that will help you, if you just want to show up for near the end of the tailgate, you guys know, right about 6 o'clock, there will be the inaugural kicking off of the season, the big giant Jaeger pass, where we take a giant Jaeger bottle, we pass it around, and we say a little toast to a few folks who are on the ice and folks who may have came before them, and we have a little bit of fun with that, and we're properly lubricated. We go inside PNC Arena, we yell our faces off as the Carolina Hurricanes just absolutely demolish the Montreal Canadiens. I saw via Twitter last night from our friend at Habs Laughs, Mike O'Brand. He said Carey Price was cut, which was shocking. I thought they had to waive him first. I'm looking forward to opening night. We still have not lined up a food sponsor. We have a couple of folks that we're reaching out to this week, but be prepared that there may not be the big playoff food extravaganza that there was last year, so feel free to bring food or Bojangles or whatever you want that you may be consuming, because at this point we do not have a massive food sponsor. But again, thank you to the folks over at New Belgium Brewing who will be providing beverages for us. We should have a big old stack of waters and Gatorades out there as well, but the bigger thing is that the food and the drink, it is coming out, seeing friends that we haven't seen really since May, which is different because normally we stop seeing our friends in like late March and early April. So this will be nice to get the family back together. Have a blast. I am looking forward to everybody coming out, enjoying some good times with us. If you haven't got your tickets, last I know, it was a really close to a sold out, if not already a sellout. Also, something I think that the Canes announced yesterday, which was really kind of cool, not that we're shills for the team, but they announced a new program. $79 gets you 4 seats per month to games that are assigned like 2 hours before the game. They call it their MVP program. So if you haven't seen that, go over to CarolinaHurricanes.com, check it out, or at Canes over on the Twitters, and they can you can learn how you can get tickets to 4 games a month for under $20 a ticket, which it's most likely a third level ticket, but they're just going to be using these, I'm assuming, to fill in extra spots. And you could if you get a random Ottawa Wednesday night game, odds are you're probably on the glass, so that'd be fun. But anyway,
that's what we in the business like to call a deal.
That is a deal. We did want to say a quick thank you to the Canes ticket office, specifically Sarah Daniel, who was kind enough to gift us with a few tickets here in the preseason that we were able to share with a whole bunch of folks. Section 328 gave away, believe it or not, 75 tickets to 2 preseason games this year. So we thank everybody who was able to come out and join us, not necessarily in 328, but just all over the arena, for those who may have won raffles or prizes or just randomly reached out to us and said, hey, do you know how we can get you a ticket? And we were able to get a few folks in the door. So, Derek, I think that kind of wraps it up, except for the review. Now, normally, this is the spot where we would have a beer review, but we don't have to review beers anymore because New Belgium is sponsoring the podcast, and shocking, they're all good. So I thought we were going to do maybe, we're going to do maybe an homage to a good friend of ours who we will not name, but at one point he was rating ties. And folks, I don't know if you, how many people actually watched the Fox Sports Carolina broadcast Wednesday night of the Canes versus the Predators, but I just got to say on this, the brand new Mike Maniscalco tie review, Maniscalco's tie was majestic. Derek, can you explain to the people just kind of what the tie looked like?
It looked like ass. I hated that tie.
What do you mean? What do you mean you hated that tie? That was quite possibly one of the most beautiful ties I've ever seen. It was a striking. False. It was a striking gold and navy striped tie. Derek, was it because it maybe is a little reminiscent of the maize and blue?
It looks like a tie that would go to Wisconsin and just get demolished. it looks like a tie that would need two overtimes to beat Army.
Okay, so maybe it was a little Michigan-esque, but I just want to say in this week's edition of the Mike Maniscalco tie review, whereas the knot wasn't quite what I would say coming down as a perfect V, and we would lose a little bit of points for the quality of the knot at some points during the game. The colors in the tie were just striking and beautiful. And Mike Maniscalco, friend of the podcast, also somebody who's too scared to come on the podcast to do Cheaters Never Canes Cast, but that's another story since, you know, we still do have those reigning defending belts. The tie I thought was lovely. Derek, you disagree, obviously.
We disagree. But that's the beauty of reviews, Mike.
Yeah, that's the beauty of the Mike Maniscalco tie review. Next week, we'll review Mike's opening night tie and tell you just how we thought that was. Odds are it's probably going to be red and blue.
Or, and hear me out on this, we may forget that that's what we said we're going to review next week, and we'll review something completely different.
Ooh, tacos. I have an idea.
You have to pay LeBron a dollar. You just said taco.
Ah, damn it. Folks, thank you guys for everything. Thank you for listening. We promise to do better next time. We're over on the Twitter, section_328.
Respect the underscore.
If you like this podcast and you want it to get better, we promise to do better next time. You could always really support us going over to Patreon, patreon.com/section328. We're still giving away great giveaways over there for our patrons, including t-shirts. We just launched a new t-shirt this week, the Analytics Are For Everyone t-shirt, which we thought was fun. We may be making an offshoot of that that just says Canalytics is for everyone, and we'll probably have two people buy that shirt. One of them
or just a shirt that says is.
Or just a shirt that says is. The t-shirt machine over at 328 is continuing to crank some things up. I was hoping to have a t-shirt out before opening night that just said bless your heart in French. But, you know, that's going to be the opening night chant. Folks, get your lungs ready. Opening night, just a few short nights away. We look forward to seeing all of you over in the east lot. You know where to do. If you miss us at the tailgate, climb the stairs, make your way to section 328, come up to Rossi. I'll be the slightly portly guy who's aging very ungracefully, probably chasing a 5-year-old around. Derek will be the tall, lanky guy who's just tired and beaten from having to take care of now a 2-year-old. So yes. until then, my name's Mike.
I'm Derek.
We're still out of here.
Yeah.